Why don't you come on and bring us what's on your heart?
Amen. Brother John this morning was acting like he's having a little trouble with another birthday, turning 50. You do know there's an option to growing old, don't you, John? Huh? For those that don't know, it's die young. And most of us here now can't do that, so we're over the hill. They put a new knee in. I limped around for 2 years on this thing, and they cut out and put in a ceramic-covered one that I'm not supposed to reject with a nickel plate, and I was climbing stairs in about 10, 12 hours, and I played basketball, and it's only been 6 weeks. So I'm going to be back on the roof, I hope. I got to. My dad, I called him the other day. It was 98 degrees in Michigan. I called him about 10:30, 11, and I said, "Where are you at?" And he says, "I'm on the roof." He's 86 years old, and he's doing another roof, tearing it off. He says, "But I quit around 2 o'clock before it gets really hot." I said, "Dad, global warming will be over in September. You can go back in global cooling." And he said, "No, I want to get it done now. I've got things to do." So anyway, several things that I'll be sharing in the next couple times I get to preach. But we're in Pachuca, and it's been a rough 3 or 4 years for us. You've heard about all our ailments. Some of you are in the same boat, I'm sure, about we have our own room at the hospital, and when we show up, the cleaning ladies, the people that do the laundry, they all come up and see Michael Jackson in his suit, and so it's kind of a big deal, but we're managing. Another thing that's pretty encouraging, we have a guy that is evidently dumber than me, because he wants to buy our business in San Luis. So hopefully the 26th of this month, we got to get back down, and we'll do the first official signing, and we hope that goes through. But pray that that'll take care. It's not a big deal because of the way things have been the last 5 years with me not having much at all to do with it and the economy and everything, but somebody else wants the 20-year-old establishments that are all falling down, you can have them, and we'll have more time to work with the church in Pachuca, which is getting pretty exciting, because we have started a page where the ones that are going to preach by Tuesday have to put their outline of their preaching or their teaching on the page, and then the others are commenting. And this last week it got pretty intense about things that they thought they missed on it, and so we're trying to improve the preaching, and we're also putting a big emphasis on teaching. I know some of you preachers might identify with this, but it's always much easier to preach than it is to teach. Preaching, you just pick out a nice verse and say some nice things about it, but teaching, you got to know something, and that's a real lack we've had, to have. Even in myself, to actually understand a subject well enough to convey it in such a way that people understand it, answer their questions. And so we are emphasizing that the first hour of our meeting, you will be a teaching time. And if you stand up and preach, you're going to be told on our webpage that Sunday afternoon that you were preaching and not teaching. And we're going to try to foster people to study more and have an actual teaching. And then the second hour that we have a preaching, it'll be open to preaching and more of to direct to the Spirit to change people's lives. And then the first hour will be give you some information that you can build your life on. So that's what we're trying to do there. Tonight I'd like to talk to you about something that I've really been noticing. And that's the power of words. I don't know and don't care what side of the fence or wall you're on politically, but for the last 2.5 years, it's been wild. And I got to looking, and it's all about what somebody said. It's words. Words have got this country, got this world upside down. And somebody says a sentence, and it's just, you know, if it's in English, it's 26 letters, and they put them together and make these phrases out of words, and it just is an uproar. And I begin to realize that's what we are as preachers. And I don't think we put enough emphasis on preparing ourselves to give the words that change lives. I think about, I've studied quite a bit, read quite a bit about history, and I'm really fascinated with World War II. And you got this crazy little frail guy, and he's got this funny hair under his nose, and he stands up in Miriam, and he just gives a speech. And the entire nation comes together. And they're willing to die. It's victory or death. And they go to their death to accomplish the words that he spoke. And you got another guy who's quite a bit, he's short and overweight in the heckling pit of Parliament. And he stands up and says, I got nothing to offer you but blood, toil, tears, and sweat. And he says, and we shall never surrender. And the entire British Empire, on those words, come together. We go to our Bible. Genesis 1:3, and it says, God said, let there be light. God said in verse 6, let there be firmament. And he said in 9, God said, let there be waters under the heaven be together. In verse 11, God said, and let the earth bring forth grass. What we know and what we have before us, what we have around us, the creation of God came into existence because God said. And I know in my life I began to realize I don't have enough respect for words. I don't have enough respect for what saying something can do. The Bible says, go ye and preach the gospel. We don't have to go and do the sacrifice. It's been made. But we need to have a command of words that portray what has been done. And it's really been convicting me that so many times in our, we don't respect words. We don't make a difference. We have a lot of young men in Mexico that have a desire, but they're scared to stand up and say words. And it's been my assigned task to encourage them. You need to, you know, you want to preach, you know how to, you got the language. And so I call them marshmallows and bombonas and you wimp. And they usually don't like me for a while until they get a taste of saying important words that change lives. Right. If I can impress on you something tonight, we need to understand the power that God's given us. So many times we think we're inadequate. We see someone that has some abilities. They're more eloquent. They can play instruments. They can do so many other things that the world seems to gravitate to. And think that this is talent. This is ability. This is something that's going to really make a difference, even in the church and in our Christian lives. But when it comes down to it, it's what the words say. That's why we're having a hard time with some of the new Christian songs that come out in Spanish. It's just repetitious of something that we can't even find a place in the Bible. One of the tasks that I have given out over the years to our congregation, I said, before you call a hymn, you need to tell us the verse that hymn is based on. Give us the verse. Give us what the words that inspired that. Because it's the words that touch our hearts. I don't want to minimize the Spirit of God because it's the Spirit of God that does a work in us. But but it uses the words. It uses what men say. The Bible is filled with men and women, ordinary men and women who said extraordinary things and changed the entire course of history. God spoke to us, Hebrews chapter 1. Many can quote it by memory, probably. Chapter 1, 1 through 3. And God, who sat at sundry times and in diverse manners, spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. He spoke to us. I'm beginning to see that that's one of the greatest blessings God has ever done. Amen. Is that God Almighty spoke to us in a manner that we could understand.
Amen.
Because of his speaking to us, we understand that he's the Creator. We understand that he's the judge of all. Yes. You're not going to escape because he's going to judge all, and he told us that.
Amen.
We should appreciate that he's told us that.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. It says that he's love and he's mercy. We know of ourselves. We know that we are unclean, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Because he spoke to us, we know of our condition. How else would we know that? Our human nature says we're doing fine. You ever listen to your own judgment of yourself? It's not very judgmental. It's excusable. I can excuse it. I have the right to be the way I am because of what happened to me in my childhood, or who's picking on me now. Or we always come up with an excuse. God has said, this is who you really are. There's no hope for mankind to be saved and born again and into the kingdom of God without knowing who he really is. Praise the Lord that he told us who we are. There's none good. We're worthy of the wages of sin. Here tonight and you don't know what the wages of sin is? It's eternal death. Damnation and hell. Because all have sinned. God said that. You need to come to agree with that so that you can ask for forgiveness. And because he spoke to us, we know of the provision that he gave his only son to accept the wages of sin for us. Saved because God sent his son and we know about it. And that brings us to this conference. There are still many that do not know.
Amen.
They haven't heard the words of God in the way that has displayed to them or revealed to them, better said, their condition and the provision. How many times did you hear some of the same things? Many people were able to quote the very verses. But at one point, in one time, the words came true to your heart and you knew, this is truth. And this is my condition. And this is the provision. We've learned of the gift of God, the forgiveness, the new birth, and an inheritance. We have an inheritance, brothers and sisters.
Amen.
You're striving, I'm striving to have something to carry us through our old age if we don't die young. And what does that compare to the inheritance as God's children?
Amen.
We have a nation in Mexico. You have a nation in Poland. There's nations all over this world that have not heard the gospel. You have a neighbor that haven't heard the words of salvation. Look, if you would, in 2 Timothy chapter 2. This is Paul advising Timothy on something that I think runs in this line. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14. And of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but the subverting of the hearer. How much time do we spend with words that have no profit? We call it in Mexico the Santa Carilla, where we jokingly jab each other with words. And so many times it gets overboard, and no longer is it the Santa, but it's the condemning one another. It's showing our inner feelings of jealousy or whatever. We end up going overboard and offending someone. So many times we stand up to talk to somebody about the Lord and we don't go to the point. I spent some time talking with the guy that wants to buy the business, and the first meeting we had that he wanted to talk about the Bible, and I thought we were here to talk about this deal. He says, well, my wife's a real devout Catholic, and I just don't know about this kind of stuff. And what do you, and I didn't want to get too deep because I'm going to offend the guy that might save me from a headache, you know. I'm not completely spiritual. The second meeting, he called, and he said, this time, the first one was with his dad and his brother, and this was just you and me. And took us out to eat, took me out to eat, this real fancy place. And all he wanted to talk about was the Bible, so I just laid it on him. And he's been writing me now, said, man, I gotta think about spiritual things. And I don't know if he's trying to trick me or what he's going on here, but I finally came true with the words, direct. And I feel like our first encounter, the words of a very little profit. We need to be profitable when we use these words. And you're not going to use them profitably if you don't understand the power that's in them. We have the words that is the power and the salvation to anyone, to everyone that'll take those words. I think too much time we rely on the Spirit of God moving on people. He's directed us to put the words there that the Spirit has something to work with. Yes. He's used donkeys to speak. He wrote the first commandments with his own fingers. He's done a couple other ways, but right now he's speaking through us. And that's a great, great privilege. You have the privilege to carry words that will change people's eternity. Our politicians are making words that is causing uproars. Some of the words may change something, but it's all temporal. We're of a very elite group. People that have the words that will change people's lives.
That's right. Amen.
And we don't appreciate it as much as we should. We don't trust it. That was one of the big things about preaching. Just standing up and preaching? What's that going to do? Aren't you supposed to spend money to get it done? Aren't you supposed to put on some show? What's a big spectacular thing? It says preach. Tell them the words. Let the words deal in their hearts.
Amen.
What was it that changed your life?
Amen.
Some preacher said a string of words that you could use in any other context, anywhere, any other, and be nothing, but he put them together in such a way that it pricked your heart.
Yep.
And let you know that you're on the downside of God's judgment, and you have an opportunity to be free of judgment.
Amen.
By words. It said here, besides being of no profit, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God. It's not going to happen by accident. It's not going to happen by accident. I had one message here in this place a few years ago that I think I opened my mouth and God filled it. And I was supposed to be the middle guy, and I was just going to give a little little thing about what we were doing and explain some of this stuff. And the guy that was supposed to give the message couldn't get here, and then suddenly I was given the last, and I'm supposed to give a message. You know, that's how it works here. And so, and I stood up, and God filled my mouth. And I felt like I really did say what God wanted said that night. That happens. It don't happen very often. You got to study. You got to know the subject. You've got to understand what you're talking about. And it's so much better if you've actually lived it. How come one guy can stand up and fumble around and say a few things and the whole world falls to their knees and the next guy can do it eloquently? It might be because there's a testimony with it. It might be that there's something coming of those words that's deeper than just the letters, but it's a life behind it. You remember the story where these guys were trying to cast out demons and the demons and Paul and the apostle says we'll cast you out. And they laughed at him, said, well, we know Jesus. We don't know you. Who are you talking about this stuff? Words with a foundation. Study to show thyself approved. Build a reputation. There's some people that I know when they stand up, they're going to say something meaningful. Because I know they study. I know they live some of that. You don't have to be perfect to have lived some of it. You don't have to be perfect to say something that's going to touch somebody. We all need to be touching somebody. Amen. And we can do it with words. A little further on it says, but shun profane and vain babbling, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Vain babblings. Study to see what isn't vain. Study to see what is powerful. Study to understand what changed other people's lives. We have a whole book of examples that what was said that touched people's lives. If you can't think of something original, repeat what they said. You know that if you come up with something original about God, you're probably a heretic. After all the preaching and studying, it's been said. There's nothing new under the sun. And sometimes I felt, I don't know about some of you other preachers, that we're just saying the same thing over and over again. That's what it is. Over and over again, men are lost and dying and going to hell over and over again. And Jesus Christ paid the debt that you can be free from that condemnation. It's the same message. I wanted to encourage you tonight. Study the words. Know what they are. Know what they've meant to you. And proclaim those words. You don't have to go build an ark like Noah did. You don't have to hang on a cross like Jesus did. You have to speak the words that explain who we are, who He is, and what we can have because of Him.
Amen.
Amen.
Stand and turn to number 73.